Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. This week's Great American Read explores how our favorite novels reflect what we do for love. From classic romance to family dramas, from unrequited passion to unforgettable first love, we take a look at our best-loved books that feature the most important emotion in our lives. The Great American Read, What We Do for Love, premieres tonight at 7 p.m. Central, 6 Mountain on SDPB-TV. Jerry and Norma Wilson are both writers and partners in life. This summer, we visited them at home, and it's a house they built with purpose. They shared the story behind their residence and how its location in Southeast South Dakota has affected their work as writers.
We wanted to have a house that fit into the landscape in such a way that it would be comfortable to us during the winter in South Dakota. We both grew up in the South, and we decided we wanted an energy-efficient home. And so we lived here for 2 years in South Dakota before we found the right spot. We were looking for a south-facing hill where we could build this house. Now, we actually got the idea from Henry David Thoreau, because in his book, Walden, he talked about building his house in a place where he found a den of a groundhog. And, animals know how to survive in the environment, so we wanted to find a place where we could do that, too. And, Jerry should probably talk about the actual building of the house, because he had some experience with that before we moved here. But I'll have to say that I grew up around building, too, because my father sold building materials. And once we designed the house, he drew the blueprints for it. So, it was a family project for us.
Yeah, well, I worked as a carpenter when I was in graduate school, learned how to build houses. But then our second year in South Dakota, I audited a class at USD on solar building, which was very helpful, and I read the books and so on, so I knew how to design a solar house. And so this is a passive solar house, no moving parts, nothing to replace. It just is built into the earth so that it has minimal exposure to the winter air or the summer heat. But most of the south side is glass, so that it collects. The house itself is the collector. It collects heat and can actually survive on its own in the harshest winters. It's never gotten below the upper 40s with no heat when we're gone. So it's a place where you can survive without adding too much to the carbon footprint.
How has it changed? Because when I read Norma's poetry, when I read your nonfiction books especially, that sort of chronicle some of the misadventures and adventures and experiences of living here, this place has changed who you are as writers as well. Jerry, talk about that.
Well, yeah,
bit.
I mean, my office is a recliner by the front window where I can put my laptop on my lap and lay back and write until the moment's inspiration leaves me, and then I just gaze out the window at the butterflies or the birds at the feeder, or maybe a rafter of turkeys walking by, or the deer down at the salt block, and just relax in sort of peace until I'm ready to write some more.
And you as well, Norma. So much of your poetry deals with themes of nature.
Yes, most of it has been inspired by living here. At least most of the poetry I have written since I moved here. And, for example, my chapbook, Under the Rainbow, which was published in 2012, was actually, I wrote the drafts of that book in 2002, and I was I was spending a month in Spain. I had a residency at Mojácar. And what happened was I'd been reading García Lorca's poetry because he had written about that area, Andalusia. And I was so inspired by it, and I was influenced by that work, but also the things I knew from here. So a lot of the poems in that book are beginning with a scene I might see as I climb the Mojácar La Vieja, the old mountain next to where I was living. And then I would look down and I would see the landscape and I would think about what my house looked like here and the deer that might be here at home. And I'd be thinking about being back here. And for me as a writer, often when I am somewhere else than home, I'm thinking about home, and it gives me a different perspective on it. So that book was influenced by it, and of course, Rivers, Wings, and Sky, which I did with Nancy Loesecker. A lot of those poems in Rivers, Wings, and Sky are influenced by this place. In fact, Cherry's Waiting is in both books, Under the Rainbow and in Rivers, Wings, and Sky, and was influenced by our cherries in the orchard. So.
Who are some of the authors that for you have influenced you as a writer, specifically regarding that sense of place, the people who have written about what's outside their window, what's underneath their footsteps, that you remember and resonate and have sort of influenced who you are as a writer, because you do that so masterfully.
Well, thank you. You know, Thoreau, Aldo Leopold, several other well-known nature writers, W.O. Wilson, Annie Dillard, of course, many others that are keen observers about the place where they live, but also who care about not only the place where they live, but how it relates to the wider world. And so I think that in terms of my nature writing, I'll call it, my writing about life here on the Bluff, I think that those were all big influences. In terms of fiction, in graduate school, read all of the work of Faulkner, Hemingway, Steinbeck, a few others of the great early 20th century writers. And all of them, Eudora Welty, Flannery O'Connor, they're all people who not only know a place well, but who are able to look at it critically, lovingly and critically. And I think that that's what kind of influenced my perspective. So, you know, I have a novel, Across the Cimarron, which is set in Oklahoma, where I grew up, about the land run there in 1893, which both of my great-grandfathers did. And it evolves from there for the next 65 years. So it's a sense of place that is tied directly to the geography where I grew up. And my current novel, which is coming out this year, is set in Mexico. And we went and stayed in the region and traveled in the region and went to the small towns and so on where this novel is set in order to be able to write accurately about place. It's not like living someplace for, you know, 36 years as we have here, but it's necessary to me to have the details of the place so that if somebody reads the book, they can feel it, see it, know it. Sense of place is so important.
Norma, poets do this on a micro level, right? All the time. I mean, in some ways, all poetry is about place.
I think so. You write from a particular place. I recently wrote a poem about being out in my grandparents' yard on Tennessee Ridge, where they lived when I was a child, and leaning back in lawn chairs and looking up at the stars and looking at the Big Dipper, like the dipper they used to in the bucket of water from the cistern that they drank from, because they lived in a place that didn't have running water or electricity for a time. When I was a child, I can remember that, the time before TVA came in. And I think that being there with them in the country influenced me a great deal. And so when I moved to Oklahoma, I felt kind of uprooted, and I thought, how do I relate to this place? And then I started hearing creation stories and reading creation stories by writers like Leslie Marmon Silko from their native cultures, Laguna culture in her case. And I thought, oh, you know, I know the Genesis story, which is really not from this land at all. And I thought, but I don't know the stories of this land and what the indigenous people heard about it and learned about it. I wanted to know. I always wanted to know more. And so I read Leslie Marmon Silko's novel Ceremony, and I decided in 1977 we were going to go travels to the Southwest, that I would like to interview her. And so I went to the University of New Mexico and sat with her in her office, where she had an office. She was teaching there at the time. And I asked her, I said, well, where did you hear these stories? And how did you learn them? And she said, well, it's part of an outlook from growing up there on that pueblo. I acquired a particular outlook. And I thought, that's really interesting that the stories taught an outlook. And the outlook was, I think, that, just put into other terms, you understand better your relationship to the earth around you and to the people in your community and your responsibilities to nature and to the people surrounding you. And that's really the theme of that novel, as Teo, this veteran, comes back from World War II and is severely distressed by what he has seen in the Pacific, and as he tries to integrate into the world he grew up in. Fortunately, he has some good help in doing that. But in doing so, he has to come to an understanding of how to avoid being caught up in the forces of destruction, because there are a lot of veterans who are there who are very angry and who have been caught up in the violence and just want to commit more of it, want to kill. And he becomes pretty much a pacifist. I mean, he holds back from that. He learns how to live in a good way during the course of that novel. I like to see dynamic characters like that whose character is formed during the course of the narrative. And, you know, I read for understanding, you know. So I read a lot of novels, even though I write poetry, and I love the poetry of Walt Whitman, and I love the poetry of Emily Dickinson, the older poets, but also, you know, many of the new ones. And I generally prefer multicultural literature. I read a lot of African-American, Native poets.
So before I ever met you in person, I would be in different towns in South Dakota, and I would be looking for poetry. And almost every time somebody would say to me, you have to read Norma Wilson, mm-hmm. which you might not even realize is happening out there. And they would put these books in my hands. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering, as you've been so influenced by books, whether it's poetry or novels or nonfiction, mm-hmm. do you have the sense that you are also the influencer in this region and perhaps beyond, but that booksellers are hand-selling your books to readers who say, I need somebody around here, I want to read the literature of South Dakota, and they say, well, you must know Norma Wilson.
Well, that's wonderful to hear. I didn't know that.
More than once, true
yeah,
story.
I have some former students who are very kind and, you know, tell me that I've influenced them, but, you know, I didn't know that, and that's wonderful.